We went to, I shouldn't say we, Teresa, thank you. She went to Staples for me and got one of these. And it doesn't say reset on it, but it says easy. And how many have seen the commercials where you push it and it...
That was easy.
That's hopefully what we're going to be doing in this series, giving you opportunities to listen and to understand of how we can reset things in our lives over these next few weeks to make it a new chapter and keep going. And so I'm going to put that there, and I might have to push it a few times just for fun. Let's get my papers here. So basically when we say reset, I always think of the word restart. Some of us may need September to be the restart with God that we need. Some of us have maybe had too much involvement with the world. And we need to close that chapter and start a new one. And one that the chapter fully involves God in every part, in everything in our lives. So I'm just going to pray. I pray today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would begin to show us areas in our lives and in my life that we need to reset in order for each of us to walk fuller in God's ways and according to your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So are there things, people, devices, that are in your life right now that are not pleasing to the Lord? Devices. Oh, she went there. Oh, yes, she did. Sometimes our phones, sometimes our iPads, sometimes our computers, sometimes our televisions, sometimes. Are there things in your life that are destroying your relationship to God? Think about that. Well, to destroy, that's what the devil came to do. What are the three things he came to do? He came to lie, to steal, and to kill. He came to destroy. He does not want you to have a relationship with him. The next slide shows something that destroys. Fire. It's really rampant in our province these days, isn't it? It's terrible that what we have seen, whether we've seen it close up or whether we have seen it where we've known of people who have had to move or put on alert. If we go to the next slide, these are some BC fire statistics, hoping that you can read them. 2018 is now the worst fire season on record as BC extends the state of emergency. These statistics are just this week. More of BC has burned in wildfires in 2018 than any year on record. As of Tuesday, more than 12,984 square kilometers of the province has burned. Burned. Pushing past the previous record set just 1 year earlier. So we thought it was bad last year. This year, it's worse. As 534 fires continued to burn on Wednesday morning, the province announced that it has extended the state of emergency through to the end of September 12th. It actually, just a few previous days, they were saying it was at 600. So we are winning the battle. About 3,200 people have been removed because of the wildfires, and another 21,800 are on alert. I'm sure you know someone who has been affected by the fires. Next slide. So the current statistics as of August 29th, here's what I found. These first two are new fires that were discovered on August 28th, just August 28th. There was a new fire caused by lightning, and there are two new ones caused by humans. The total fires to date, I mean, it can tell you as to the area of where people live in the province. The total fires is 2,015 to date. I can't even imagine those poor firefighters. They must be exhausted. Fire is literally eating up homes. It's eating up livelihoods. It's eating up forests. It's killing animals. And how many know when there's fire, there's smoke? Next slide. Smoke effects from raging BC fires as seen from space. So the white cloud that's kind of extending across into Saskatchewan and Alberta, that's smoke. It's crazy. That picture was August 15th. Okay, so that just tells you what's going on. And they had another picture, I didn't put it up, but it was like the world was way down there and you could sort of see like the globe of it taken from way in space. And you can see these brown little patches over BC. We were at pastor's camp as a family and my daughter Ashley had this photo taken at the Okanagan Lake. I love it, it's a beautiful picture. But what she put on Instagram was ocean air, salty hair. It's like it's a lake. See, the funny thing about it is you can't see anything, so you assume, because the picture of the way it's taken, it's an ocean, it goes really, really far, but that is smoke. The Okanagan Lake, where the camp is, you can always see to the other side. You can always see the mountains and the brown and the green range. And a number of times we've been up there and they've had that plane, I can't remember what it's called, where it dives down and then its belly opens up, it scoops the water, and then it goes back and then it goes to put out the fires. And a lot of the times we've seen those. We didn't see that this summer. All we saw was the smoke. I'm sure a lot of you, with being on vacation, you saw different sites like this. Well, if I look at one more, the next slide, it says black carbon. It's a pollutant. It makes its way into the atmosphere during forest fires. And this black, sooty material forms from the incomplete combustion of vegetation and fossil fuels. I know, kids, you're not at school yet, but we got to explain this. And it travels easily in the wind. And if inhaled, it can cause respiratory and cardiovascular problems. But it can change cloud and rain patterns. Pastor Nicole, why are you talking about fire and smoke? Well, what does the devil do? He comes to lie, to steal, to cheat, and destroy. Oh, well, isn't that what the fires are doing? Isn't that what the smoke's doing? It's hurting us. It's bad for us. And if we use this analogy of fire and smoke in relation to what Satan is trying to destroy in our lives, we can see that it slowly eats at us and it invades our body and it attacks us. Isn't that what the devil does? Yes. But I just use my phone sometimes. I'm only up till midnight playing a game on it. Well, you know what? Satan invades our comfort zone. He speaks lies to us. He puts negative thoughts in our minds. And slowly, we can begin to believe them, can't we? Instead of reading our Bibles every day, we tell ourselves, oh, it's summer. The week went by, it's okay. Instead of going regularly to church or to our Lyft group, to our youth group where we're committed, I'm tired. I'm just gonna take a break. There's nothing wrong with you being tired, taking a break. But does God take a break? No. It won't matter. No one will notice. I'm not important. That's okay. No, those are all lies. See how they're slowly being twisted? I'm not important. Well, that's not what God says about you. You're very important. No one will miss me. Yeah, we will miss you. It affects us. And if we go to the next slide, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I wanted to give you some ideas. When I'm talking specifically about fire, I'm talking about destruction today, okay? There are opportunities or things in the Bible where it talks about fire and it's good. But I want to talk to you today about destruction, destructive fire. And these are just some scriptures that I just pulled out. If a fire breaks out and spreads into thorn bushes so that it burns shocks of grain or standing grain or the whole field, the one who started the fire must make restitution. Satan won't make restitution. Nehemiah says, "Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Well, yeah, he's going to be sad. That's where his people are. That's where he grew up. But have we become complacent? Mark 9 talks about, quite literally, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. Is he really saying cut it off? No. But take notice of what is causing you to stumble and get rid of it in your life. Can you think of something right now? Is the Holy Spirit working as I think he is? I know he is. And maybe he's pinpointing something in your life to say, that's kind of destructive. Do we need to cut it off? Well, our hand, no. But we need to cut off the things that are not pleasing to God. Jude, I love this. Save others by snatching them from the fire, like literally going out and grabbing them and pulling them back. If you think of what a firefighter would do, if he's running into your house to grab you because you've fallen, right? He's going to literally get you and get out of there, right? That's what we're to do. But how many of us are tired? I'm guilty too. God, I really don't want to talk to that neighbor. They're Jehovah's Witnesses. We have Jehovah's Witnesses on one side. And I think some days I'm like, oh, what am I going to say? I don't have to necessarily say something that's right out there. God can give me something. Yes, he can. But at the same time, sometimes just being a good neighbor is what I need to show. To live a life that's of integrity, that's going to win them over. What I really want to talk about today is from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to read the scripture, but then I'm going to break every part of it up. So if you have paper and a pen, this is where I encourage you to write it down. Or you know what? I don't know about you, but I love to write in my Bible because then I remember things when I'm looking back at it. And if you don't like doing it, that's okay. But if you have a highlighter, that's going to be a great thing to use. It's always good to come to the house of the Lord prepared, right? Oh, okay. Okay. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. In the New International Version, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the Lord, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Verse 2. Next slide. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Can you go back 2 slides? I want to read it one more. I want to read it from the Message. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Wow. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Can you go to the next slide? Romans 12, verse 1, it starts out with the word therefore. And whenever Paul uses the word therefore or but, let me tell you, what he has to say next is very important. Okay? So he starts with therefore or stop. Here's what I want you to do. He says, I urge you. I heard Pastor Les when he was praying this morning. We beseech you, Lord. That's in the Bible, another version. I beseech you. I call upon you. I'm pleading with you. As one author wrote, I thought this was kind of interesting, so kids, you can laugh. We sense the bowels of earnest solicitude in Paul's I beseech you talk. I think what he means by the bowels, he's talking more about the depth. The depths. I urge you. I plead with you. Brothers, sisters, friends of God, in view of God's mercy, means God will help you. Think about everything He's done for you. He's here. It's God's free and unmerited grace. That's God's mercy. The mercy of God that melts our hearts and moves us to His righteous service. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies. Well, this is where transformation begins. If I present my body, if I take my everyday life, all my tasks that I'm doing, if I'm sleeping, if I'm eating, if I'm working, if I'm playing, everything I do, it's as an offering to God. I am embracing what God does for me, in me, through me. Interesting, the New Testament, when it was written, like the Old Testament, you study it in Hebrew, if you ever go to Bible college, and the New Testament, when you study it in Greek. I took Greek, because it's supposed to be easier than get harder. Yeah, anyways. So Greek, for the New Testament, offering your bodies, what mattered to them was only the spirit. The body wasn't worth much. So Paul is here saying, no, offer your body. Offer it all, the whole thing. Because when we offer our body, our temple, the Holy Spirit lives inside of our body. Sorry. We can serve God just as much with our body as our mind and our spirit. The body is where the Spirit dwells. The body is the instrument through which the Holy Spirit works. So if we offer our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice, this is daily, placing what you do before God as an offering, as a consecrated sacrifice. We all need growth, dynamic growth in our holiness walk. Would you agree? That should be a little louder.
That was easy.
Yeah. We all need dynamic growth in holiness. We need a constant dedication. And you know what? It's got to be consistent. It can't be just, I'm going to church now. It's Sunday. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to worship the Lord. And then I'm going to live whatever I want to do the rest of the week. Yeah? For some. Maybe for some of you, start out good in the first of the week, like Monday. But then by Saturday, you really need Sunday to come because you got a little bit of repentance to do. Could be. Holy and acceptable to God. That's what the New King James Version says instead of holy and pleasing. We need to live as pleasing saints that are acceptable to God. We need to call ourselves to a higher level. We need to be living and breathing righteousness. I'm not perfect. I'm preaching this to myself too, okay? I struggle with things just like you do. We all, we're imperfect beings. Only God is perfect. Holiness is needed to be well-pleasing to God, but it takes time to develop. And then what does he say next? This is your true and proper worship. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is your reasonable service, your spiritual service. Real worship is the offering an everyday life to God. It's the only kind of worship which is truly spiritual, one author writes. What you do, how you act, what you say, what you watch, your integrity, how you live, that's worship. Because that's how you're responding to God. It's a dedication to serve God and put him as king, as authority over us. Verse 2, do not conform any longer. Don't become comfortable. When you're comfortable, what happens? You get lazy. And things might be missed. And it's saying, don't conform any longer. Don't shape your lives so that it's shaped to the culture. Don't be fashioned that way. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. According to this world. Don't be wrapped up in things that are temporal. Mom, what does temporal mean? Temporal, something that's here today, gone tomorrow. Something that's really awesome right now, but down the road, not so good. It's temporal. It's here for a season. Be caught up with God. All our plans, our ambitions, our determinations need to be according to God's ways. If you made yourself a checklist right now of all those things, would they be in accordance with God's will for your life? There might be some that you need to maybe cross off that list. There might be some that you need to add to that list. The thoughts and actions we follow need to be that of Christ and not of the world, because we need to serve the living God. And we need to remember that the world breeds sin. I'm going to say that again because I thought I'd have a rousing amen on that one. We need to serve the living God because the world breeds sin. Yes. I could even go for a preach it, Nicole. But, there's that but again. But, therefore. It's an important word in the English language because when you say a sentence, you can say whatever you want at the beginning part, then you say but, and it's basically saying, you gotta listen because this next part's really important. But, be transformed. Transformation? Transformer, I mean? Sort of. Be transformed from what? From the world, from the pattern of the world. The emphasis is on transformation, not just conform. Be set apart. I like this word when the Greek word talks about a metamorphosis. Paul is saying that to worship and serve God, we must undergo a change, not of our outward form, but of our inward personality. The essence of our being needs to change. Who we are. There needs to be a change. It is not dominated by human nature, but it's dominated by the Spirit, right? We need to have a Christ-centered life by renewing our mind. That's the next part of the verse. By the renewing of your mind, we see new character. When we fix our attention on God and His values and His will, we keep renewing until the very essence of our being is altered. And you know what? It's going to keep being altered and fixed and transformed as God works in us. It makes the driving power in your life different, doesn't it? When you have the mind of Christ, you see things differently. You do things differently. You don't do it like you used to do it in the past. When Christ is in you and becomes the center of your life, then you can offer real worship, where every moment, every action of your life is towards God. It says, then you will be able to test and approve. You can be changed from the inside out. It's in your core. Am I just talking about salvation here? Folks, I'm not. This is beyond salvation. This is beyond, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to come in and live with me and be the king of my life for the rest of my life. And now I need to turn from my sins and be forgiven and walk out in your ways. That's what I'm talking about. We're talking again about the word sanctification. We're walking out our life in Christ. And as we do, we come to a standstill and we go, oh, are we going to go back or are we going to go forward? Right? You will be able to test and approve. I know, the S word, school. It's coming up, and I apologize for saying it. Well, maybe. Anyways, with school, we have tests. At work, sometimes we have tests. And why do we have tests? So that somebody can go, I'm going to see how much you actually know. Well, yeah, it is about that. How much have you retained? How much have you understood? How much have you learned so that you can keep moving forward? Test and approve what God's will is. To test means to find out, to examine, to discover, to learn by experience what the will of God is for your life. You then are able to readily know what He wants you to do. And you're able to quickly respond to it. You ever thought about, Lord, good morning, Lord. I'm going to put my life at your disposal today. You just help me do whatever you want through me, and I'll do whatever you want. You ever tried that? It can be scary. Because God will take you at your word. And He'll put you maybe in a situation where you feel a little uncomfortable or you don't know what to say. But guess what? The Holy Spirit who lives in you will give you those words to speak. He says it in the Word. So He's not telling you just to jump out and do something. No, He's saying, I'm going to go with you. That's how I can test and approve what God's will, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. God is perfect, so why wouldn't His will be perfect? It's acceptable and good. And God will bring the best out of you because you slowly are developing your Christ walk, your Christ nature. It's continual. We can never say that God's will for us is relatively good and pleasing. Rather, God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is God's perfection and reflection of his holiness. God says, be holy as I am holy. Right? Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I have it up on the screen. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you. When I read this, I thought, this is perfect. It goes with Romans 12. So listen closely. It's not too difficult for you today or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get to it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No. The word is very near you. Oh, it actually just happens to be right here. How close is your Bible to you? Maybe it's on your phone. Maybe it's by your nightstand. The word is very near you. It's in your mouth. Oh, that's why I memorize scripture. That's why I read it daily. And it's in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Let me read part of that again, because I think this is so practical in what I've been speaking about today. What am I commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. What I've spoken about today, you can do it. The word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws, and then, what a wonderful promise, you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. This passage asks of you three things: to love him, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands. How do you do that? Well, constant surrender and constant obedience. When I go to get that iPod out, I shouldn't be watching that. Oh, I need to take that game off. Video gamers, stuff that you're playing. If one of your kids walked in and saw you playing it, is that a good thing? I mean, I could pick on anything. Whatever is in our life, we need to look at those things and examine them. And if it's not loving him, walking in his ways, and keeping his commands, then we need to give those things up. Because when we do this, next slide, the smoke clears. The fire's gone. Because you're standing up to the devil who wants to lie, kill, steal, and destroy. What a beautiful picture of just sitting there looking at what God has made, what God can do in your life. We see clearly what God's will is for us. We hear him clearly. Some of you have said, well, I don't know how to hear God's voice. Stop and listen. Serious. Take the time to quiet yourself before God. Ask him to speak to you. I bet you'll be amazed. It's a beautiful picture. Interesting, in the message, Deuteronomy 30, verse 16, the very end of it, it says, just do it. It's like the Nike advertisements, right? All you got to do is just do it. By fulfilling God's purpose in your life, you flourish. You are used in your talent and ministry that's God appointed and anointed for you. The church becomes fruit bearing. The pews get filled up. The community is transformed because they know who we are. They know why we exist. And we can expect the manifestation of God in our lives and in our midst. What would happen if next Sunday God came down? And maybe we didn't have preaching because the worship just extended because the Holy Spirit's moving in our lives. That is the expectation. That's a hope. I hope we get there. Questions. Questions to ask yourself. I hope you don't feel that I've been hard on you. Maybe I have, and maybe that's more the Holy Spirit dealing with you, not me. I really feel this is an anointed word, not because I'm saying it, but because God gave it. And when I say that, I think about questions that maybe you could ask yourself. Am I currently offering myself to the Lord as a living sacrifice? Am I offering my best? If I'm offering who I am to the Lord, is it like this? Or is it like, oh God, I beseech you, I love you, I plead, I want all of you. Do you see the difference in the posture? Am I conforming to the pattern of this world? Is there anything standing between me and God? And if so, what am I going to do about it? We have to be people of action. When was the last time I assessed what I put in my mind, body, soul? What I listened to? And can I currently test and approve what God's will is for my life? Do I know where God wants me next? Do I know how He wants to use me? If not, why? So I was trying to figure out how to close the service. And for me, this is something that I think needs a response. I'm not saying you have to, but I think you will see in this next slide, this slide here, if I truly want to clearly and responsibly move forward with God, I need to take a few minutes. And maybe I need to take a couple hours this week. But I need to stop and I need to look and go, what am I going to change? We can put up those questions again and, I don't really know where I'm at with God. I don't know God's will in my life. I haven't heard Him. What are some goals that you want? Remember, this is a new start. This is a new chapter. So here's what I'm asking. There are four little places up here. You can get a pen, and you can get this paper. And I would ask that you come up and get one. You can return to your seat. You don't have to hand this in, but just come and take one. You can sit down in your seat and pray. Maybe you already know what to fill it out because God's been talking to you already. Or maybe you just want to take it home and do it in quiet time. But I'm going to ask that everyone come up and take a piece of paper and think about what we've spoken about today. Can you put... Perfect. You got the questions up. Steve's just going to play. We'll close the service in a few minutes. And for those who may not be able to get out of their seats, I can bring a few to you. But can everyone stand? And I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to come. Lord, as I prayed earlier, I asked that the Holy Spirit, who is amongst us, would begin to show us areas in our life that we need to reset. Where do we need to restart with you, Lord? We want to move forward as a church that's moving with you. And individually, we want to excel at your will. So, Lord, show us what we need to reset to walk fuller in your ways and according to your will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And so right now, come. Come, step out of your seat and take one of these papers.